for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2006 Passover Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Service being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday morning, April the 15th, 2006. Carla Bitard is the speaker of this service, teaching on the Spirit of Ahab.
Well, it's time to hear the word of the Lord, and Carla Bitard is going to come and do that with her husband backing her up. Come on, dear.
He makes me nervous sitting on the front row. Not really. Well, let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that we can look into it and find out who you said we are. And this morning, Lord, I pray that each of us would get a glimpse of that through your word. I pray for an anointing right now, Lord, that you would circumcise the hearts of everyone sitting here, give them ears to hear and a heart to understand. I bind the spirit of offense in Jesus' name. The truth hurts sometimes. But, Lord, you came to build us up and create in us yourself so that we can walk and be who you called us to be. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's several of you here that, you know, the other night I spoke, and I used to give this little introductory thing. It was the way to break the ice. And by the way, I had a real good time laughing last night. I like to laugh. Mike and I have a lot of fun laughing together. And so I like to tell people, you know, that God can use the most ordinary thing to do extraordinary things. Because there's not a more ordinary person than myself. I am just a simple-minded lady. But and to tell you how simple-minded I am, I'll just, you know, I'm kind of like Glenn. I may as well not get embarrassed anymore because it, you know, it comes around so often. May as well just get over it. But one time my husband took me to this Chinese food restaurant with some friends of ours, and I'd never been to a Chinese food restaurant. I didn't like different things. I eat what I like. And even if I've never tasted it, may be wonderful, I'm not one to go and try it because I already like everything that I eat. So we never went to a Chinese food restaurant until these friends took us, and it was a lunchtime, and the girl gave us the menus, and they had these lunch plates, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And it was a Thursday when we went. And so the other couple ordered first, and they said, I'll have the Thursday luncheon special. And his wife had the Thursday luncheon special, and Mike said he would have the Thursday luncheon special, and I didn't like what Thursday had. I didn't know that I had to get Thursday, so I said, I'll have Tuesday. And that waitress looked at me like, Mike said, she is serious. I had no idea. She said, well, if you want Tuesday, you have to come on Tuesday. And then it was like, oh, my gosh. Okay, so, you know, simple, but I am just a living example that the word is true, that God is able to make wise the simple, and how simple the gospel is. And so we are all able, when we come, ask the Lord to reveal to us his word, and he will. Today, I'm going to teach on something that I've only taught on once before. I don't usually like to teach something that I haven't lived myself because I don't have a clear understanding of it if I haven't experienced it. But I was given this as an assignment by a pastor, and he asked me to accompany him to a seminar, and then he told me what to teach on, and that was kind of a shock, because usually they just say, would you come and teach? And, you know, I say, Lord, what do you want me to teach? And he'll lay something on my heart, and that's what I teach. But he told me, I'd like for you to bring a message on the spirit of Ahab. And I thought, you know, I didn't make that expression. You know, you make a lot of expressions in your head while they're not looking. You're just, oh. But in my head, I'm thinking, gee, I sure wish you'd give me Jezebel. I know her. That one I have experienced. I know Jezebel very well. Ahab, you know, as I thought about it, I thought, you know, I do have some experience with Ahab. Because, as you know, Ahab usually picks a Jezebel wife. So, and Jezebel usually looks for an Ahab husband. We don't know that it's Ahab and Jezebel when we do this, but that's usually the way it ends up. I haven't known very many couples where both were Ahabs or both were Jezebels. And so I went home and I told Mike about it, and he said, you want me to tell you about Ahab? I said, yeah. He said, Ahab is, let me find my pages, non-confrontational to a fault. He's not comfortable in a leadership role. He knows what he needs to do. But when he tries to do it, he fails or he's beaten down. Therefore, he takes lots of long walks to keep away from exploding because he has a violent temper, but he doesn't want anybody to know it. Okay? I said, can I quote you on that? And he said, yeah. So you see, we both know Ahab very well. I'm happy to say that's not true any longer. I thank God for the deliverance ministry. Jezebel was driven out of me when Mike and I were probably married about 13 years. We've been married 30 years. So in that amount of time, things have been being redeemed, you know, and really transformed to the way God intended a marriage to be. But when I studied this, I said, okay, Lord, you're going to have to give me this because, like I said, I haven't really lived it, and so I don't really know all about it. But he opened it up to me, and when I was asking God, Lord, what do you want me to, you know, share with the people this camp, I had some new and other things on my mind, and he kept saying the bastard spirit and the spirit of Ahab. And as I thought about it, these both are very destructive spirits. One of them can keep you away from God, and the other one can keep you from being who God created you to be. And so the story of Ahab, if y'all have never really read it, it starts in 1 Kings chapter 16, and I'm just going to give you an overview of the story, and then we will look at a few scriptures. But I do want to read just a couple, though. So if you'll turn to 1 Kings chapter 16, and we're going to look at verses 30, 31, 32, and 33. Just go there, and then we're going to look at that in just a minute. But the story is, no, we need to look at those first. Chapter 16, verses 30 through 33. Okay, that's 18, no wonder. Okay, it says, and Ahab the son of Omri did evil in the sight of the Lord above all who were before him, and it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, that he took as his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. And he reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. And Ahab made an idol, or a grove. And Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So that tells us a little bit about Ahab. He was wicked. More wicked than all the ones who had come before him. Okay, it said that he did evil in the sight of the Lord above all who were before him. So this sets the stage. He was evil. In verse 31, it says he thought nothing of taking Jezebel for his wife. So he was rebellious because, She was the daughter of an evil king. And so, you know, God was very insistent that when the Israelites were passing through the lands, they weren't supposed to take wives from other places, other peoples. So that shows his rebellion right off the bat, that he's going to, it was nothing for him to just take Jezebel as his wife, and it was rebellion. Now he likes, I wondered, did he like Jezebel because he admired in her the qualities that he lacked? You know, I used to be critical of Ahab, but then I kind of felt sorry for him because he was weak. And I find that weak people have admiration for people who have the qualities that they don't have. So Ahab saw something in Jezebel that he liked, and so he took her for his wife. He was in idolatry. He set up a grove, which is where they kept the idols. See, that wasn't permitted, but he did it anyway. So he was in idolatry as well as rebellion, and he set up that idol in a grove. So this tells me about Ahab that he, because he was so wicked, that he was drawn to forbidden things like loose women, dirty jokes, pornography, and adulterous affairs. He was wicked. 1 Samuel 15:23 says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry." See, he had all of that, and he was the leader. And when you have that in the leader, you're going to find it in the people. When the king was evil, the people did wickedness. And when the king was good, they did good. So whatever your leader is, that's what's going to follow through in what whoever is below them. Okay, now, because of this, Elijah proclaimed a curse that there would be no rain or dew for 3 years. And then he sent Elijah and told Elijah what to do. And then in 1 Kings 18, let's look at 1 Kings 18. We're going to pick up 1 Kings 18:17-18. So they've had this drought now. And Ahab is probably perplexed as to what's going on because, you know, three years without rain or dew, that causes a lot of problems. You can't grow anything without rain and your livestock starts to die. In verse 17 it says, "And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Are you the one causing all this trouble?" So what does that tell us? Well, the next verse tells us, and Elijah answered and said, "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam." See, Ahab didn't want to take any responsibility for the stuff that was coming down on them. But Elijah made it very clear that it was his own actions that had caused all this trouble. Now, chapters 19 and 20 you can read on your own sometime, but we're going to skip over to chapter 21, and this is where things start popping. Now, I'm going to give you an overview of what happened. Ahab, in a neighboring land, there was this vineyard, and he wanted it. It must have been a very successful crop of vineyard, and he coveted after that vineyard, and he wanted it. So he goes to the neighbor and says, "I'd like to buy your vineyard." And he said, "I'm not going to sell you this. This is my inheritance." And this morning when I was rereading that, I thought, boy, there's a whole message right there. I'm not going to sell my inheritance. We, like the aborted thoughts, you know, the Lord gives us thoughts and we abort them. We have an inheritance, but we sell out. And so the guy said, "No, you can't have it." Now, Ahab goes home, and he's kind of pouting because he really thought he was going to get that vineyard. So he crawls in his bed, turns his face to the wall. He won't come out of his room. He won't eat. He's sulking. He's depressed. He's kind of pouting. And in walks Jezebel. What is the matter with you? Now, I want to read some of those scriptures. Let's see, where does that start? Okay, I have coveted. Let me see, I never can. Okay, in verse 5 of chapter 21, Jezebel came to him and said, "Why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no food?" Now, having been a Jezebel, I know that's not the way she said it. She stomped into that room and said, "What is the matter with you? Aren't you the king here? My goodness. If you want that, you ought to be able to get that vineyard. If you don't know how to do it, I'll do it." Oh, gosh, you call yourself a king. What kind of power do you have? That's what Jezebel said, because she's something else. You got to be kidding me. Get out of that bed. Go eat. If you don't know how to be king, I'll show you how to be king. I'll get the job done. Now, let me tell you some other characteristics that Ahab manifested, or other characteristics of Ahab. Emotionally, the spirit of Ahab in a person, and it can be a man or a woman. I was thinking, you know, spirits are not really gender, except incubus and succubus. They're gender-oriented. They're particular. But all the rest of them, they don't care if they're in a man or a woman. Whoever will let them in or give them house, they'll come in. Emotionally, Ahab, and we call it the spirit of Ahab because that's how Ahab behaved. I've had people tell me that I have the spirit of, you know, some of my relatives. "You remind me of your, you know..." I've learned not to name names anymore because they want to listen to the tape. But they tend to be stoic. This is how you can recognize the Ahab spirit. They tend to be stoic. You never see them mad, like Mike said. They have a temper, but they don't want to show it. And what is that? Pride. Mm-hmm. You never know what they're thinking or how they feel. And that word stoic, when I looked it up in the dictionary, it says in Athens that word comes from a school of philosophy where it was taught that the wise man should be free from passion, unmoved by joy or grief. So they kind of come across as cold and dull and stone-faced. They keep everything to themselves. They are one who appears to be indifferent to pleasure or pain. They're usually passive. You know, you can be in a heated conversation and everybody's giving their opinions. You won't hear theirs. Mm-mm. They just keep it all inside. Keep all their thoughts to themselves. They're non-confrontational. They want peace at any cost, even if it's a false peace. Let's just sweep it under the rug and leave it there. Let's don't even look at it. No need to argue. Peace at any cost. No communication, because that causes conflict. And they don't want conflict. And that in a home between a husband and a wife can cause a lot of misunderstandings. Because you're left to assume and presume, and there's no unity and no harmony. Causes marital problems, a lot of contention and strife, and lots of divorces over just this kind of stuff. They appear weak, a term that people might use as a pushover. You know, they're just a rug. You can walk all over them. Arnold Schwarzenegger would call them girly men. I thought that was so funny when he said that. No does not seem to be in their vocabulary. They will go a mile around trying to get the person to understand they're saying no, but no never comes out. Usually an Ahab will say what he thinks you want to hear, and then they go off and do what they want to do. Some of them are thought of as cowardly. They won't take a stand. They have trouble making decisions, or if they make one, they won't stick to it. So then they end up frustrated. They have lots of failures, repeated failures because of that. They suffer confusion. the most extreme being homosexuality, because so many times Ahabic men, there are Ahabic women also, but in Ahabic men, because they've had a domineering mother, tend to be afraid of women. They're timid and they seem a little bit effeminate. And a lot of them have gone into homosexuality. There's a mix-up between the man and the woman there. And one day when I was looking at this, God showed me that that has to be the root of homosexuality, is confusion. Because how on earth can a man stand in front of a mirror and see his form and his body parts and think that he is a girl? Is that not confusion? And vice versa. A woman standing in front of a mirror with all of her body parts and think that she's really a man. That is the extreme confusion. They doubt their manhood. This causes them to doubt their manhood because they're more, you know, when we think about a man like the John Wayne type or the macho type, and then we think about women and the way they should be and the way men should be, and then we see a man who is timid and soft-spoken and meek and, you know, gentle and all these things that meet a woman's description, it can cause them to doubt their own manhood. You know, why can't I be what I'm supposed to be? They lack leadership. Or this doubting the manhood, they don't come across as the macho like they want to, or even manly. So they take up a macho hobby. You know, they become a real sports fan. They get into football and hockey, you know, go to hockey games just to watch the guys beat themselves up, because that's manly, because they're confused about what a man really is. Or they become a workaholic. They bury themselves in their work. And a lot of men who have this spirit, because they're not good leaders in their homes, they are excellent leaders in the workplace. And that's where they get their self-worth. And so they become workaholics. They would rather be at work demonstrating this power where they don't have it at home. So it causes problems in the home. That's where they get their self-importance and their pride. They lack leadership. And so sometimes it will cause the woman to fill the role of the leader in the family, even if she doesn't want it. Now, that was my case. My dad was a strong leader, and I thought all men were like my dad, and I didn't have any problem being submissive to my dad. And so when I got married and that strong leadership wasn't there, well, somebody had to be in that position. So that's when Jezebel manifested herself and stepped up to the plate and became the leader. I didn't want to be the leader, but you know, if nobody's going to lead, I can lead. You know, I don't really want to be the leader. But if nobody's going to lead, I'm ready to march up and say, hey, somebody's got to take leadership here. Because you can't have just a bunch of floating around fragments. And so then the man resents the wife, and the wife resents the man. Which, you see all of this, this is it really is. This spirit is so strong in the church, in the home, in the country, that it just causes mass confusion everywhere. They usually don't respect themselves, and therefore other people don't respect them. The wife doesn't respect them. The children don't respect them. In fact, we can see the manifestation of that in the sitcoms on television today. Every husband is an idiot. Every man is a bumbling idiot on television. The wife is the one that has all the smarts. And if it's not that, the mother and the daddy are idiots, and the children have all the smarts. That's what we see on TV today. That's what's being fed to our kids. And it is tearing down the home. and authority in all areas. 90% of the writers of sitcoms are homosexuals. That doesn't surprise me because every one of the sitcoms now has at least one in it. Yeah, you can see the agenda from Hollywood. I mean, look at that movie that won all those awards. I bet every cowboy's toes curled when that movie came out. How dare they taint the American cowboy? Oh, man. So the children, what do? They grow up rebellious, confused, troubled, and they struggle because of this particular spirit. Okay, so Jezebel comes in and she is absolutely disgusted with Ahab. And so what does she do? She goes on a campaign. She's going to get that vineyard. And she does. Hey, Jezebel will stop at nothing to get what she wants. So she decides to frame the neighbor. This is false accusations. She said that he had blasphemed God and the king. So she sits down, and now Ahab is still laying in the bed, remember. He's taking a nice long sleep. escape. He's escaping his disappointment and his problem. So she steps up, and she begins to write letters. And she stamps them with his stamp, which is absolute forgery and deception. She is presenting herself as the king. And she finds a few, it says in parentheses in my Bible, worthless fellows. They were sons of Baal. Just, they were demons. And she involves them, and I'm sure she gave them a little something on the side. No telling what. But they carried out her wishes, and she delivered all these letters, and they framed that man and ended up stoning him to death so that Ahab could have the vineyard. Now, she comes in and says, go get your vineyard. You notice in the story, when you read it, he doesn't ask any questions because he doesn't even care how he got the vineyard. He asks no questions, and I'm sure she didn't tell him. All that mattered was he got what he wanted. But what he didn't really realize that he had handed his power and authority over to her. He abdicates his power to her, and she was ready to take it. Okay, so in a home that this happens in, he allows the wife to take charge. The house is out of order. The wife tries to carry weight that she was not designed to carry. It becomes a real burden. You know, Jezebel wants the power, but it's a heavy weight. I hated it. It was crushing me because I was not in my proper place. It causes fibromyalgia. Ladies, anybody have fibromyalgia? Or men. Anybody can have fibromyalgia. There's another indiscriminate spirit. So it causes resentment, disrespect, the power struggle, because really he knows he's supposed to be the head of the house. It's just the scripture that every man in this universe, whether he's ever opened the Bible or not, knows that the woman is supposed to be submissive to the man. Just like every pot smoker knows that every green herb was given for food. Every green herb. I had a delivery man tell me one time that he knows us and knew the trouble we were having with our kids. And he said, you know what you need to do? You just need to get some pot and sit down and smoke a joint with your son. I said, have you lost your mind? It's against the law. I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't do it if it was legal. He said, yeah, but even God says, all you potheads know that scripture. All you potheads know that scripture. By the way, he told me one day that he didn't even own a Bible. And when he left, I asked Mike, I asked the man, I said, would you like a Bible? And he said, yeah. So I bought him one. So hopefully he's learning more than every green herb was given for. So there's a lot of anger in the situation where Ahab and Jezebel are, lots of arguing and frustration. And let's see, I repeated this about the children. They're confused, frustrated, and really and truly they are ashamed of their dad, who has no, they would call it backbone. So there's no respect. And they don't feel safe. Men, listen to this. You are the head of your house. And that order was given by God for a reason. And when everything is in its order, you won't have all of these crazy things. Dad is the protector. You know, my dad was my protector. When I had all these crazy fears, I used to really, because I was the baby of the family, my dad was older, and whenever all these fears began to manifest, I really had this. We used to watch horror films, you know, me and my brothers, we would watch these scary movies and just love it. But I went to bed scared after those movies. And I was always trying to figure out what I would do if somebody came in to kill me. You know, I had all these little plans. And for a while, I slept with a pillow on my chest and a pillow under my back in case anybody stabbed me. You know, the knife wouldn't reach me very far. That's crazy, but I'm telling you, it's the truth. And I used to wonder if I was screaming for help, I could just see my dad coming down the hall in his underwear, you know. He was my protector, and I did feel safe, but I wasn't sure if he could help me in the middle of the night being woken up out of a dead sleep. But, you know, your husband is your protector. I urged that in Mike the other day because, you know, we have a lot of customers in our little optical shop in our town, and we love people. And this elderly man came in the other day. Several years ago I walked in, and Mike said, Mr. So-and-so came in from the pie place, and he wants to hire you. And I said, well, did you tell him I'm not for hire? He said, no, I thought you might want the job. It's our slow time, you know. And I did. I took the job because it was Christmas. And, you know, that's our slow month, and we have a hard time making what we need. So I did it to help out. And then the other day I got to work, and Mike said, oh, Mr. So-and-so came in and wants to know if you'll hem a pair of his pants. And I said, really? What did you tell him? He said, I told him that you would be here later to come in and ask you. He used to have a sister that did it all, and she just moved to a retirement place up the road too far for him to go. So now I guess I'm taking on her honeydews. And it was so cute because he had found these pants for $18, but the cleaners was going to charge him $10.50 a pair to hem those pants. They'd make those pants $29 a pair. And this man has money. I should have told him I charged $15 a pair, but I hemmed his pants. But I told Mike, I said, you know, I was hemming those pants and having other things to do, and I'm thinking, you know, I said, honey, next time somebody comes in and wants me to do something, you tell them that I only hem your pants and I only work for you. That's what I would like your response to be, because I don't need to be taking on other people's stuff. See, that protection. Step in and intercede and protect. And we don't always understand that that is our position because, you know, for so many years it was, you don't speak for me. Now I'm saying, speak for me. Okay, so Ahab will shun his responsibility in the home as head and priest. There are Ahab pastors. I hear complaints all the time of people who, you know, go to their pastor and the pastor won't confront the issue. And so the church is full of just craziness. Or he'll send them to his wife because she'll get it done. He's not too interested in the things of God because there is a spirit of the rebel. Deep-seated rebellion. Too many times, an adult with this spirit ends up being like an extra child, wherever they are. You know, they're just an extra child. They have arrested development because they don't want to take responsibility. They'd rather spend their time in one hobby or another. Anything but what really needs to be done. And then again, he resents the wife because he doesn't like being told what to do. And then there's competition because there's a power struggle in the house that should never be there, or in the church, or in the workplace. So abdicating your place, your power, is not a good thing. But the problem is if this spirit resides in you, you really don't have what it takes to overrule the spirit. That's why deliverance is so wonderful. Because once you command the spirit to go, after deliverance is discipline. Then you have more of a choice. Because just like Paul said, you know, the very thing that I don't want to do is the thing that I do. And when I will to do good, evil is present. It is a power struggle within the person that has this spirit. And so, by the end of this, when we do deliverance, hopefully anyone who has this spirit operating in their life will have a better chance of moving into that place that has been given them, because the spirit will no longer be the ruler spirit over you. Okay. So, Ahab has the vineyard. The Lord sends Elijah to Ahab, and I want us to look at 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 19. 1 Kings 20. Well, thank you, Jane. 21:19. There you go. Look who gets held responsible for this action. In verse 19 of chapter 21, Elijah says to Ahab, "Hast thou killed and also taken possession?" See, who got held responsible? Listen, you've got a place, and God is going to hold you responsible for that position, whether you're in it or not, whether you know it or not. So we need to know our place, and we need to get in it. And the result of that was a curse. Now, this is real important. Verse 20. "Hast thou found me, O mine enemy?" Ahab says. And he answered and said, "I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself," there we have the selling yourself again, "to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon thee, and will take away thy posterity, and will cut off from Ahab every male, and him who is shut up and left in Israel." Now, this curse, he says, "I will take away thy posterity." Listen to what the word posterity means. In Strong's Concordance, the Hebrew word posterity means, and here we're going to describe Ahab. It means to loiter, to interrupt. Now, this is Webster right here. To interrupt or delay an errand or a journey with aimless, idle stops and pauses, lingering, lagging around idly, and lagging behind. Now, we're all thinking about people we know that do this, even ourselves. Posterity. It means to procrastinate, to put off repeatedly, to keep postponing something needing to be done to a later time. It means to defer, to put off or delay deliberately and indefinitely even, to the point that it may never get done. To submit or yield to another's wish or opinion. That's another description of defer. See, won't stand up and stand strong and take a stand and stick to it. You give over. You sell out. You compromise. It means to hinder, to make slow or difficult. Be late or past the usual time. Do you know someone who is just always late? You know, that's a spirit that I've seen in a lot of churches, too. You know, I hear about a meeting, and I go, and there may not be a car in the parking lot. I've had some that I even left because I thought I was there on the wrong night and went home and called the person that invited me. Oh, no, it's still going on. I'm like, well, where is everybody? I'm learning. But see, really, now that I know this, we need to be binding that spirit in churches, if you notice that. It means slack, not using due diligence, care, or dispatch. Negligence characterized by slowness, sluggishness, lack of energy, lack of firmness, weak, soft, shirking work or evading work or duty, to cause to be diminished in importance. That's a lot of stuff there going on. So you might wonder, why am I like this? You know, these are some questions. These are answers to some questions that some of you may have asked yourself about your daddy or yourself or a teacher or whoever. It's the answer to why people are lazy, that take a long time to get jobs done, that make excuses to buy time. They're negligent, irresponsible, slow to reach maturity. They're late paying their bills. They're always arriving late. They keep people waiting. It's selfish, arrogant. They don't work or they don't want to work. They can't hold a job. They don't take serious things that are serious. You know, they have this way of just making everything a joke. And usually, they are perpetually tired. Just thinking about what they need to do wears them out. So it never gets done. It's a serious, serious spirit. So Ahab, after hearing the curse that's put on him, repents and humbles himself. And so God says, you know, because he repented, I'm not going to let this evil come on him, but it's going to come on the generations that follow. It was postponed to his sons. Not to happen in Ahab's lifetime, but the sin of the father was visited upon the generations that followed. So your descendants, if you have this operating in you, are going to suffer from this. Now, we're going to start the deliverance part now. First, we're going to pray a prayer of repentance. Then we're going to cast the spirits out. And you know what? Whether you have the spirit of Ahab or not, you need to go ahead and pray these prayers because, you know, your seed, I was figuring this up the other day and I ended up in such confusion I quit trying to count. I was never good in math. But we know it says to the third and the fourth generation, and to the best of my ability, that's like who I am is a result of 30 different people's seed. Okay? So it may not be in me, but it was in my forefathers. Therefore, it could be in a seed that was passed from, you know, And there you have it. So whether you have this or not, please pray all of the prayer so that it doesn't hide in there and stick with you. Okay? So repeat this prayer after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for idolatry, for feeling self-importance, for selfishness, idolatry of jobs, of finding my worth in my performances, in hobbies, and for every false refuge that I've run into. Forgive me for doubt and unbelief. Forgive me for the Antichrist spirit. For being prideful. For having lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Forgive me for having ego. And for rebellion. Rebellion against God. Lord, you know, I catch myself doing this all the time. We're praying to God, right? So we should say, rebellion against you. Against your, forgive me for having rebellion against the position that you've given me. For the rebellion in my place as the father. In the home. For rebellion as my role. As the husband. For rebellion against the man you created me to be. And I mean man slash woman. When I say man, it's man slash woman. Lord, forgive me for fantasy. Forgive me for being a legend in my own mind. Forgive me for living in the past. In the days of my glory. Whatever that was. Forgive me for complacency. For compromising. And for being weak. Forgive me for stoicism. For being a loner. Forgive me for not expressing myself. Forgive me for being confused. Unable to make decisions and stick with it. Forgive me for not communicating. Forgive me for perversion. And being effeminate. If I'm a man. And for being, masculine if I'm a woman. Forgive me for resenting my gender. Forgive me for uncleanness, dirty-mindedness, lewdness, anger, resentment, unforgiveness, frustration, being passive-aggressive. Forgive me for holding grudges, for wanting revenge, for wishing I could murder, for gossip, sulking in heaviness, pouting, giving the silent treatment, for the lying spirit, the spirit of perversion, denial, denial of manhood, denial of womanhood, the little boy spirit and the little girl spirit. Forgive me for not wanting to grow up. Forgive me for judging. Judging my Ahab dad. Or my Jezebel mom. Forgive me for covetousness. For the spirit of division. For misunderstandings. For causing strife and contention. Forgive me, Lord, for shifting blame. Forgive me for not admitting when I'm wrong. Forgive me for not being able to say, I'm sorry. Forgive me for the walls of isolation and self-protection. Forgive me for making jokes about things that are serious. Forgive me for having my priorities out of order. Forgive me for not finishing things. Forgive me for being lazy and tardy. Forgive me for not, for procrastination. Okay, now right now I take authority over all of these spirits in the name of Jesus. And I command them to leave me. In Jesus' name. Now y'all can be quiet. I take authority over the spirit of Ahab right now in every person. I command it to leave in Jesus' name. I command the spirit of idolatry to go in Jesus' name. Of being self-important and selfish, I command the spirit of selfishness to go in Jesus' name. I command the spirit of rebellion to go in Jesus' name. I break your power, rebellion against God, against your position, against your role in the family or your church or your job or anywhere else. I speak to the pride of life, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Go in Jesus' name. All lust spirits, perversion spirits, go in Jesus' name. I command fantasy to go in Jesus' name. I break your power. People will live in the truth and not fantasy in Jesus' name. I speak to ego and machoism. Go in Jesus' name. Complacency, compromise, weakness, go in Jesus' name. I speak to stoicism. I break that foul spirit of stoicism in every person in Jesus' name. I loose the people to be able to express themselves and to be honest with themselves and each other. In the name of Jesus, stoicism, I break your power and command you to go. I break the power of confusion over God's people right now. Confusion, all spirits of confusion, go. Not being able to communicate, not being able to make decisions and stick to them. I break your power in Jesus' name. I speak to every unclean spirit. Go in Jesus' name. All dirty-mindedness, lewdness, perversions, go in Jesus' name. All sexual perversion spirits, go in the name of Jesus. Anger, go. Resentment, unforgiveness, frustration, passive-aggressiveness, go in Jesus' name. Holding grudges, I break your power of holding grudges in Jesus' name. Wanting to murder, spirits of wanting to murder and get revenge, gossiping about people, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Sulking, heaviness, oppression, depression, pouting, silent treatment, crawling in a hole, getting in the bed, falling asleep, spirits of slumber and escapism. I break your power of God's people right now in Jesus' name. I speak to covetousness. Go in Jesus' name. I speak to division, misunderstanding, strife, and divorce. I break your power off God's people right now in Jesus' name. Shifting blame. Go in Jesus' name. The spirit of a loner. I break your power in Jesus' name. I tear down the walls of isolation and the walls of self-protection in Jesus' name. I speak to the spirit of judgment. I bind your power right now. You foul spirit of judgment, you critical spirit, go in Jesus' name. Making jokes about everything, taking things lightly, not taking your responsibility seriously. I break your power right now in Jesus' name. I speak to having your priorities out of order. I speak order into God's people right now. That they will learn your order and that they will live and abide by your order, Lord. I speak to posterity, all of those things that were mentioned in posterity. Laziness, go in the name of Jesus. Not paying your bills, not being a person of integrity. I break your power in Jesus' name. I speak to God's people to be people of their word. If you say it, do it in Jesus' name. I speak to all fear spirits, fear of failure, fear of leadership, go in Jesus' name. Fear of man, fear of woman, fear of life, fear of work, go in Jesus' name. Fear of standing up for righteousness in the name of Jesus. I break your power in Jesus' name. Now you spirit of Ahab and all like spirits, I command you to leave God's people in Jesus' name. I loose the people right now to be who they were created to be in God. Godly men godly men come forth in Jesus' name. Godly women come forth in Jesus' name. I loose all the people, I loose every one of us to walk in the position that you have created us to be in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you right now. Just take a deep breath and let it out. Deep breath and let it out. Go in Jesus' name. You spirit of Ahab, we don't want you. Now let's make a declaration. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for hearing this about Ahab. I thank you for revealing to me how it has affected my life. And I declare this day that I want to be who you created me to be. Oh Lord, teach me how to be a godly person, a powerful man or woman of God. In the name of Jesus, I give you permission, Lord, to do it in me this day in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.